A morning today's daf from Sacha 9 Ches. We're on 9 Ches Medalf. We are two lines from the top of the Amud. Gemara today is going to be continuing from yesterday's discussion, specifically the mission that we saw yesterday. If you go back to yesterday's daf, really Ayin Vav Amud Beis, bottom of the Amud Beis of Ayin Vav. So there we encountered a Mishnah. Mishnah returns us back to the topic of bringing a Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah. And not only Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah, but all other Karbanos that are allowed to be brought in a state of Tumah. The Mishnah rattles off five different Karbanos that could be brought in a state of Tumah. Not really five Karbanos, but five different categories that could be brought in a state of Tumah. If you go back to the Mishnah, let's review. The Mishnah, Anayin Vav Amud Beis, Chamisha Dvarim, Abayim B'Tumah, Ve'inan Echalim B'Tumah. So there are five categories of Karbanos that are brought in a state of Tumah. However, they cannot be consumed. And that is HaOmer, so the Karban Omer, that's the second day of Pesach, Shtei HaLechem, that's the two loaves that are brought on Shavuos, V'lechem Aponim, that's the bread that's put on the Shulchan on a weekly basis. And then Ziv Chei Shal Mitzibor, that's the Karbanos that are brought on Shavuos, and Si'irei Rosh Chodeshim, and the goats that are brought in Rosh Chodesh, right? We just announced the Rosh Chodesh coming up, Friday Shabbos. So the goats that are brought in Rosh Chodesh, so those can be offered in Tumah, but they cannot be consumed. Meaning what we're looking for over here, as we pointed out yesterday, the common denominator between all these cases are cases in which basically they are all calendarically based. They are all karbanos that are on the calendar and the karban seabor. And as a result of that, so the show's got to go on. The karbanos is going to be brought, even though the community is going to the community is tame. And then the Mishnah points out that the Karban Pesach also follows along this rule, but the Karban Pesach has one notable difference. The Mishnah goes on to say, as far as the Karban Pesach is concerned, so it's Baba Tumah, not only is the Karban Pesach brought in a state of Tumah, but on top of that, it's also Nechal B'Tumah, can also be consumed in that state of Tumah as well, because the whole reason why we brought the Karban Pesach is only so that we can consume it, is only so that we can eat it. Good, that is the Mishnah that we saw. Okay, a big part of yesterday's daf, almost the entirety of yesterday's daf, is trying to align this Mishnah with the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua is of the position that we were introduced to in yesterday's daf. So Rabbi Yoshua says that that when it comes to a karban, there are two aspects to the karban. There's the dam, there's the basar, there's the blood sprinkled in the mizbeach, and there's the meat that's consumed. And Rabbi Yoshua says that one does not work without the other. Im ein dam ein basar, im ein basar ein dam. So in order to be able to sprinkle the blood, you need the meat. The meat has to be there, both physically and halachically. The meat has to be there in order for it to be sprinkled. So presumably, our Mishnah is not going in accordance with Rabbi Yoshua. So that was it. That was most of yesterday's daf. The Gemara discussed this topic in detail. And when all said and done, the Gemara concluded at the very top of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, right, the last lines of yesterday's daf. So the Gemara concluded that our Mishnah does in fact go like the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Yoshua is going to make a distinction between a karban yachid and a karban seabor. When it comes to karban seabor, so what do we say? Tumah hutra bet seabor. The assumption the Gemara went into the discussion, the Gemara told us this yesterday, is that we normally assume tumah dechuya bet seabor. That when it comes to tumah, so yes, there's an allowance to offer a karban in a state of tumah, but only begrudgingly, reluctantly, meaning tumah dechuya bet seabor. But the Gemara concluded that's not true when it comes to karban seabor. When it comes to a communal karban, so there we say that tumah is hutra bet seabor. It's not just a reluctance. It's not just simply it's okay. But the mamish, there's no is or tumah whatsoever. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Yoshua, so if we have a karban that becomes tamei, so then everything's still good. Why? Because tumah hutra bet seabor. That's the that was the chiddush that the Gemara arrived at yesterday in saying that our Mishnah does in fact go like the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua. When it comes to a karban yachid, so there we say that it's not hutra. And since it's not hutra, so then there is what to discuss regarding dam, basar, etc., etc. Good. That is a really, really fast version of what we saw yesterday. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Neima masisin de lo krab yosi. So now, there are two parts to today's daf. There's up to the Mishnah, which is basically the entirety of the Amud Aleph, a little bit of the Amud Beis, in which we're going to try to ascertain whether or not our Mishnah could be going like other Tanaim, notably Rabbi Yossi. And then in the Mishnah, we are going to continue discussing more in Yanei Kachum as it relates to the Karban Pesach. Okay, first part of today's daf, Neima Masnisin Deloka Rabbi Yossi. So it sounds like our mission is not going like the Shita Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, first of all, which Shita is Rabbi Yossi? So we saw this yesterday, but the Gemara does Chazara. We learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Lozar Amar Atzitz Maratza Al Achilos, Rabbi Yossi Amar Ein Atzitz Maratza Al Achilos. Okay, now, let's quickly recap and remind ourselves what we learned yesterday. Assuming that a carbon which is tame is allowed to be offered, so that is only through the power of the tzitz. Well, the truth of the matter is, let's be even a little bit clearer. If I subscribe to the idea that tuma hutra, so then we don't need the tzitz. Meaning, once we say that the tuma is hutra, like we said by a carbon sibor, so then you don't need the tzitz. You don't need any aid in terms of bringing the carbon. Once we say that the isser is lifted altogether, that's the concept of tuma hutra, so then I don't need the tzitz. But as the Gemara pointed out, but once you subscribe to the idea of tuma dechuya, which means that the Torah gives a reluctance in terms of allowing a carbon tummy to be offered, so then you need help. Now that help comes via the tzitz. Now, to the best of our ability, to the best of my understanding, can I explain this? The why, I can't tell you the why, but the what, well, that's pretty clear. The what is that it's only through the big day Kohen Gadol that he's wearing that allows the carbon, which is Tameh, to be passed through. It's so to say that tzitz is giving us the protexia, it's giving us that extra push in order to allow carbon Tameh to go through. Again, why? So somebody who is on a much better understanding of these matters can explain. It's not me, but the what, however, so that's the what. So the tzitz is meratza. And now the tzitz is meratza on which aspect of the carbon? Good. That's a machlokas between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yossi. According to Rebbe Elazar, the tzitz is going to be meratza al achilos. Not only is the ritzui of the tzitz, the push of the tzitz, going to be able to push through the parts of the carbon that are going to go onto the mizbeach, notably the blood that's sprinkled onto the mizbeach, but even on the consumable parts of the carbon, the tzitz is going to be meratza. That is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, no, the tzitz is not going to be meratza on the consumed parts of the carbon. The tzitz only pushes through the ability to offer the dam of a carbon and to be sprinkled onto the mizbeach. But that's it. The tzitz does not allow for any more protexia other than the dam. Good. That is the machlokes between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yossi. We saw it yesterday's daf, and we see it now again in today's daf. Now, the Gemara tells us we're going to start off with an assumption. So, by virtue of the fact that Rebbe Yossi holds that the tzitz is not going to be meratza on the consumed parts of the carbon, so Kareb Yoshua Svirle. So now what we're going to assume, and Gemara is telling us very clearly, it's an assumption, the Gemara is going to assume that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yeshua are aligned. The Amar Be'in Antarte. So, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, I need both. I need Dam and Basar. Remember, according to Rabbi Yoshua, we spent a good part of yesterday's daf learning. So Dam and Basar are interlocked. You cannot bring one without the other. Dam cannot be brought without the Basar. Basar cannot be consumed without the sprinkling of the Dam. So they are tied together. And so therefore, it must be that Rabbi Yossi is going like Rabbi Yoshua. Now, let's just spell this out. Let's think this through. Why is the Gemara make such an assumption? Because otherwise, what's the point? Meaning Rabbi Yossi says, you know, the tzitz only provides ritzui for the blood. It doesn't provide ritzui for the consumed part of the carbon, meaning the basar. Now, it only is going to affect us halachically if there's a need for the basar. Now, you'll say, well, there's always a need for a basar. We're going to eat it. No, we're not going to eat it. It's tummy. No, nobody's going to eat it. Remember, the only thing that we're going to do with the tummy carbon is we're going to offer the tummy carbon. We're not going to eat the tummy carbon, with notable exception to carbon Pesach, as we pointed out in the Mishnah. So when he makes the statement that the tzitz is not going to be meratza ala ochlin, that the tzitz does nothing for the consumed parts, what's the point of that? So the Gemara is now assuming this is a logical leap of the Gemara. The point of that must be that Rabbi Yossi is in conjunction with Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says that I need both, since the tzitz is only going to be meratza on the dam and not on the basar, so therefore it's significant. It's halachically significant. Good. That's the assumption the Gemara makes. Now, like with a lot of the assumptions, when the Gemara is telling us that's an assumption, so you know what's going to happen a short while from now. So we're going to change the assumption. Good. But before we change the assumption, so Neima Hashem Asis and Loka Rabbi Yossi. So now if that's true, so that would now mean that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Lazar Svirle, Dama Fapishain Basar. So the Gemara says, okay, we're changing the assumption right now. And that is that Rabbi Yossi doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Yoshua, but rather he subscribes to Rabbi Eliezer. One is allowed to offer the dam, even though the basar is not been validated. Now the Gemara says, Yihach ilamai hilchasa, ain't it sits maratz alachilos. So the Gemara says, okay, so, but let's get an explanation. Meaning, if the tzitz does nothing for the consumed part of a karban, so then what's the point? Meaning, if Rabbi Yossi subscribes to Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer says that the blood could be sprinkled with no regard to what the status is regarding the meat of the karban, so good. So I saw here, newsflash, according to Rabbi Yossi, so the tzitz does nothing for the basar. Okay, but if Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Eliezer, quite frankly, why do we care? We're still gonna sprinkle the blood. So the Gemara says, okay, Latamech Rabbi Lazar Damar Tzitz Maratz Kevin Damar Damaf Pishayim Basar Tzitz Maratz Alechil Samayuchasa. So the Gemara says, look, it's a wonderful question. I'm going to come back at you and ask you a counter question, which also is going to basically be the same type of question. Rabbi Eliezer says blood can be sprinkled even without the basar. Okay, good. Now it happens to be the Rabbi Lazar's of the opinion that the tzitz is going to be maratzah on the achilos. Good. So the tzitz is maratzah on achilos according to Rabbi Eliezer. Again, I'm going to ask the question for Rabbi Eliezer. Who cares? Meaning, for Rabbi Eliezer, blood can be sprinkled without the basar. In other words, without the basar, meaning if it's physically not here or halachically not here. The blood can be sprinkled without the basar. So if that's true according to Rabbi Eliezer, so what difference does it make with that the tzitz now is going to affect and is going to and is going to push through the basar? Who cares? So the Gemara says, Ella. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. So on both of these questions, we really do have an answer. Meaning, even if I subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer, blood can be sprinkled without the basar. And even if I subscribe to Rabbi Yossi, that the tzitz is not maratzah on achilos. Why is it significant? It's significant for two reasons halachically. And here and now we're going to go much deeper into the world of kachim. Ela lemikva bepigol lafukim edemi ila kemiflgi. So the Gemara says that it will have two halachic nafkaminas as to whether or not the tzitz is going to have any benefit towards the basar. It's going to have a halachic nafkamina regarding the halachas of pigol, and it's going to have a halachic nafkamina regarding me'ila as well. And the Gemara spells it out. Rabbi Eliezer suffering rats at Tzitzi Lavei, Umashle Ketahor, Vikavale Bepigol. So as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, remember, the tzitz now is going to have positive benefit for both the dam, allowing the blood to be sprinkled onto the Mizbech, and regarding the basar. It'll make the basar as if it is good. Now, halachically, what difference does it make? Again, we're not eating the basar. Even if it positively benefits the basar, we're not eating the basar, so what difference does it make? And again, let's just reinforce that question. According to Rabbi Lazar, the blood could be sprinkled even without meat altogether. So again, why is it important? Why is it significant that the tzitz is going to have a positive benefit towards the meat? So answer number one of the Gemara is pigel. Now, let's remember, when we did zvachim, when we did menachos, we covered this idea multiple times, and that is that pigel is when the Kohen has a machshava. While doing one of the four avodos, he says, he articulates, he spells out his thought that this carbon is going to be offered either chutz l'mkama or chutz l'zmano. Right outside, I'm going to consume it outside its prescribed time or outside its prescribed place. Good, pigel. Now, when does pigel materialize? Meaning that the seeds of pigel have been planted when he had that articulation, when he had the machshava. However, as we've covered many times back in Zvachim and in Menachos, pigel only gets materialized when all four avodas are done properly. Then and only then is the pigel going to manifest. So up until that point in time, pigel is latent, and only when all four avodas are done correctly, properly, is it going to manifest. So the manifestation of pigel will only be if you have now a kasher karban. And so for halacha number one, nafkamina number one, why do I care that the tzitz is going to be meratzah on the basar? Because once it's meratzah on the basar, so that will give you now the benefit, the credence, so that now we're going to take the latent form of pigel and translate it into Pigel manifest, meaning now Pigel's going to materialize. Now, parenthetically, by the way, it's not really a positive benefit, but still, it's a nafkamina, meaning it is a practical difference. That's number one. Number two, omafik lemi de mi'ila. On top of that, we know that when it comes to a karban, so there's going to be a din of mi'ila on the karban. On which parts of the karban? Only on the part on the parts of the karban that go up onto the mizbeach. Right? We've gone over this many times back in Masechta Mi'ila. The pasuk when describing Mi'ila describes as Kache Hashem. And so therefore, when the part goes up onto the Mizbech, the remaining portion of the karban no longer is subject to Mi'ila, Mi'ila meaning in the most formal sense. That if one were to get any benefit from the rest of the karban, one is not going to be subject to having to make restitution and add a chomish and bring a karban asham. Good. So this only will be true if the remaining part of the karban is kasher. So vis-a-vis the tzitz being meratza on the basar, so it removes now, in other words, it gives it its credence, it makes it acceptable, so that mi'ila will be lifted off the rest of the karban. Okay, so these are the two practical differences where if I offer a karban in a state of tumah, and either I subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi where the tzitz does not have an effect on the ochlin, or I subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer where I can sprinkle the blood and I don't need the basar to sprinkle the blood, so then what exactly is the point arguing that the tzitz has any effect for the basar? And the answer is twofold. One, pigel. Two, mi'ila. That is the Gemara's explanation of why it all becomes significant. So, Rav Yossi Savar, and now the Gemara, like we're just finishing up the Gemara's point over here. Rav Yossi Savar lo meratza tzitz lavei, and Rav Yossi's of the position that the tzitz does nothing for the basar. Meaning this is now Shitas Rav Yossi saying that the tzitz does not create a ritzui on the consumed part of the karbanos, meaning on the basar. V'lo mashvalei kitahor, making now the meat tamei, meaning as tamei as it could be. And because now the meat is considered tameh, so you don't get the benefit, I'm going to put those words in quotes because it's not really a benefit, but you don't get the benefit now of creating pigel, of taking that latent machshava and now converting it into a materialized pigel, because the meat is tameh, and therefore you have not hit the prerequisites to create pigel. And as far as mi'ila is concerned also, mi'ila only is lifted when the karban becomes kosher. But because the tzitz has no effect on the ochlin, so the tzitz did nothing vis-a-vis the basar, and therefore the isur of mi'ila has not been lifted. Good. That is now going to be a wonderful explanation of Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yossi. So, back to our original point, is Rebbe Yossi going like our Mishnah, yes or no? So the Gemara is right now in the middle of that discussion. Even if we say that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Elazar Bishlam, Mitzvachim Ikadam, so the Gemara says, okay, let's take the following into consideration. Remember, Shitas Rabbi Yossi is that the tzitz does nothing for the consumed part of a karban. So the Gemara says, okay, and let's assume that Rabbi Yossi goes like Rabbi Elazar. Meaning, remember, the starting point of the discussion is Rabbi Yossi does not follow like Rabbi Elazar, but the Gemara says, no, it's possible. And again, why? What point would there be? The point would be for Pigel. The point would be for Mi'ila. Okay, but let's assume that Rav Yossi goes like Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, okay, but once again, we're trying to see if Rav Yossi could be an author of our Mishnah. The Gemara says, I don't think so. Let's start this section again. Maskev Lav Rav Mari Nihi Nami De Rav Yossi Sevek Rabbi Elazar. Even if Rav Yossi does in fact hold like Rabbi Elazar, Bishlam Mitzvachim Ikadam. So let's go over the cases of our Mishnah. So the cases of our Mishnah, so you have a carbon. So by carbon, what do I have? So I have the blood and obviously the remaining part of the carbon, which is consumable. Omer Nami Ika Komet. And when it comes to the carbon Omer, so what do I have over there? I have the Komet. So in other words, carbon Omer is divided two parts, one going on the Mizbech and the other being consumed. And lechem upon him, nami ika bezichin, and by the lechem upon him, so you have the two spoonfuls of the lavona, which are offered on the mizbech. So again, it's divided. Part going on the mizbech, part consumed. Elashtei alechem, ha'ika lemeimar. Now, but when it comes to the shtei alechem, so here we're going to get stuck. Because when it comes to the shtei alechem, so what is there to the shtei alechem? The only thing that we have for the two loaves of Shavuos are only the two loaves of Shavuos, meaning that there is nothing regarding the two loaves of Shavuos that go up onto the Mizbeach. Now, how do you eat the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos? The answer is, you bring the two kvasim, the Shalmei Zivchei Tzibor, that are brought on Shavuos. They serve as the matir for the Shtei Alechem. Now, v'chitei malikar v'mehem, so the Gemara says, okay, so, what do you mean there's no part of the Shtei Alechem that goes up onto the Mizbeach? Isn't there the Kivse Atzeres? So the Gemara says, yeah, Hainu Shalmei Tzibor. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you remember the Mishnah? The Mishnah has Shalmei Tzibor as one of the five. So what's the problem now? So it's a problem in accounting. Im kein havelu arba'a. So now that means that if you subscribe to the Shita of Rav Yossi, so how many cases do we have now in the Mishnah? Truth of the matter is that we only have four cases in the Mishnah, not five cases in the Mishnah. Va'anan chamisha tanan. And the problem is that the Mishnah clearly gave us the number five. Elakasav Rav Yossi to Mahutra B'Tzibor. So the Gemara says, okay, so if we assume, like, this is just like yesterday's daf. If we assume that Rav Yossi holds that Tumas Dechuya, so that means I need the Tzitz. And it happens to be that Rav Yossi's position is that the Tzitz only creates Ritzui for the parts that go up onto the Mizbeach, but all other parts of the Karban are unaffected by the Tzitz. If all that's true, so then what the problem becomes is an accounting problem. Because our Mishnah says that there are five, and meanwhile, according to Reb Yossi, it's really only four. Why? Because we remove the Shtei Alechem, because the Shtei Alechem is only Ochlin, and there's no part of the Shtei Alechem that go up onto the Mizbech. And it's true that it is connected to a carbon, but a carbon that's already listed in the Mizbech. So it cannot be that Reb Yossi is the author of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, it could be. And what we're going to do is we're going to change our assumption altogether, like we did yesterday with Rabbi Yoshua. So we're going to do today with Rabbi Yossi. And now, how is that assumption going to change? So, Kasav Rabbi Yossi to Mocha B'Tzibor. Oh, so it'll change, because we'll say now that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that when it comes to carbon Tzibor, Tumah is not Dechuya. It is not reluctantly allowed and needing the Tzitz to create that push, but rather Hutra, totally Mutter. That time the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, in of itself, that would have been a great suggestion, happens to be that we know otherwise. We know that Reb Yossi does not subscribe to Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor. How do I know that? Because of the following brisa. We learned this in the beginning of Yuma. We will learn this in Yirtzeh Hashem in the beginning of Yuma. So, Echazeh Mazen Lav Kol Shiva, Mikol Chato Shayisham Divir Rabbi Meir. Okay, there's a couple of cases that we're dealing with over here, but again, I'm just going to give the short version of this, and we're talking about the Kohen Gadol, who is preparing himself sequestered 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. And during those 7 days of in preparation of Yom Kippur, so he's going to be Matar himself. Now, according to the Shita of Meir, he's going to be Matar himself with sprinkling the Paraduma every single day of his being sequestered. Now, that's a little bit difficult to understand, because you only need the sprinkling of the Paraduma on day 3 and on day 7. And you don't need days 1, 2, and 4, 5, and 6. You only need day 3 and day 7. Okay, so as far as a better understanding of Shitas Rav Meir, so see Rashi over here, see the Gemara in Yuma. We're not going to go through it right now. Anyway, Reb Yossi Omer, this is the part that we want for our sugya. Reb Yossi Omer, in Mazan Alav, Elo Shlisha Vishi Bavad. Reb Yossi says, yeah, what we're going to do with our Kohen Gadol, in order to prepare him for the Avodas Yom Kippur, is that we're going to sprinkle on day 3 and day 7. Okay, the position that, quite frankly, is easier to understand, because that's all you really need to do. But the point the Gemara now is making is as follows. Isakadachikas of Rav Yossi to Mahutra B'Tzibor. Let's say we have this idea of to Mahutra B'Tzibor. If Rav Yossi subscribed to that, so Lama Li Hazar Kla. I don't need Hazar at all. Meaning, forget Rav Meir Shita, where I do Hazar every single day. But I wouldn't even need Rav Yossi to do Hazar on day 3 and day 7. If we're talking about carbon Tzibor, the Karbanos of Yom Kippur is a carbon Tzibor, and they're Moed, and they're a fixed time on the calendar. So if we hold Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor, so then we don't have to go through this procedure of creating Tahara. Ela Machvarta, so the Gemara says, excellent point. Ela Machvarta Masif Nilo Kareb Yossi. So here, the Gemara basically is stuck. And, okay, so as stuck, so the conclusion therefore is that our Mishnah is not going like the Shita Rav Yossi. And this is in contrast to yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, the Gemara spent nearly the entire daf trying to fit our mission into the Shita's Rabbi Yoshua, And the Gemara ultimately did. How? By saying that Rabbi Yoshua subscribes that when it comes to carbon tzibor, toma hutra b'tzibor. Over here, we would have said the same thing regarding Rabbi Yossi. Problem is, we know otherwise. Okay. Amar Papa La Abaye. Okay, now, next part of today's daf, until we get to the Mishnah, is a better understanding of a brisa that we cited yesterday. Yesterday's daf, Ein Zainam at base, so we quoted a brisa. Now, the reason why we quoted the brisa is just simply to illustrate how Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer are not only arguing by Zvachim, they're also arguing by Menachos as well. Again, the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua is this idea of the interlocking of dam and basar. Right? If I have dam, so then, and you sprinkle the dam, so then you can enjoy the basar. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, opposite also true. If I have the basar, so then I can go ahead and sprinkle the blood. But if I don't have the basar, I can't sprinkle the blood. So they are interlocked. However, according to Rabbi Elazar, no, the blood can be sprinkled without the basar. This machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer is also true not only in the world of Zvachim, of carbon, but also by Menachos as well. Good? With the comments in the Shirayim. Same type of relationship according to Rabbi Yeshua, same type of relationship according to Rabbi Eliezer. That was the point that we made yesterday. However, we quoted a brisa yesterday, we read the brisa yesterday, and quite frankly, it was a really difficult brisa to understand. And the Gemara now is going to basically do a flashback. We're going to go back to yesterday's Gemara, yesterday's Brisa. And we just wanted to make the one point that they argue by Zvachmi, they argue by Menachos. But now that the Gemara has a moment, has cleared the entire sugya, the Gemara would now like to go back and try to understand what happened in that Brisa. And the Gemara starts off the discussion as follows. So, Amalei Rav Papa La Abaye. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, let's go back to yesterday's brisa. Reb Yossi Shtar Mizakele Beitrei. Can we revisit yesterday's brisa and note that Reb Yossi basically is playing both sides of that position and Detanya. So here, we don't have to go back to yesterday's daf to review. The Gemara is going to give us the entire brisa again. But we're going to go through it quickly. I'm Reb Yossi Rawa Ani Es Divri Rabbi Eliezer Bezvachim V'Divri Rabbi Yeshua Bezvachim. I think Rabbi Eliezer is right when it comes to Zvachim. I think Rabbi Yeshua is right when it comes to Zvachim. V'div Rabbi Eliezer b'Menachos, v'div Rabbi Yeshua b'Menachos. I think Rabbi Eliezer is right by Menachos. I think Rabbi Yeshua is right by Menachos. Now, div Rabbi Eliezer b'Zvachim shaya omer dam alfa b'shem basar. I think Rabbi Eliezer is right when it comes to a carbon. You can sprinkle the blood even though you don't have the meat. And div Rabbi Yeshua b'Zvachim shaya omer imein dam ein basar. Imein basar ein dam. And I think Rabbi Yeshua is right. That the only way you can sprinkle the blood is only if you have the meat. But if you don't have the meat, can't sprinkle the blood. Divri Rabbi Eliezer ben Menachos Ayi Omer Kometz Alfa Pishen Sham Shirayim. I think Rabbi Eliezer is right. You can offer the kmitza even though there's no shirayim. V'Divri Rabbi Yoshua ben Menachos Ayi Omer Im Ein Sham Shirayim Ein Kometz Im Ein Kometz Ein Shirayim. And I think Rabbi Yoshua is right that if you don't have the shirayim, you can't offer the kometz. Okay. Now the question is so obvious. Meaning, Rabbi Yossi, I appreciate the fact that you like everyone's position, but there's a debate going on over here. You can hold like Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, right? In other words, you want to go over the machlokas with us, that's great. But to tell us I like both positions, the two positions are exclusive of one another. You got to choose one or the other. So the question is obvious. The Gemara is going to try to formulate what is Rabbi Yossi talking about. So again, this was a dialogue between Rav Papa and Abaye. Rav Papa says to Abaye, I don't understand the brisa. With all respect to Rav Papa, you don't need Rav Papa to ask this question, right? Anyone who reads the brisa will realize that the brisa is really difficult to understand. How could it possibly be that Rav Yossi is agreeing with both positions when the two positions are exclusive of one another? Okay, so, but you do need an Abaye and Rav Papa. You do need Abaye to give an answer to this question. So the Gemara now is going to offer the following as an answer. We're gonna take a couple of stabs at this, more than a couple. Right, I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, five different ways to try to answer the question. Amalei Mistabra Kamar. So the first way to answer it is that Rav Yossi was just talking about what seems to make sense. In that Mistabra Kamar Kikai Bezvachem Amar Mistabra Kiyech Deplig Bezvachem Pligin Amar Benachos. So when he's learning the Machlokas in Zvachim, this Machlokas Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua ein dam ein basar ein basar ein dam, and Rabbi Eliezer, you sprinkle the blood even though there's no basar. And while he's learning this sugya in Zvachim, so he's saying to himself, you know what? I think also they would also argue by Menachos as well in the relationship between the Kometz and Shirayim. And then and while learning the sugya Menachos, so he's making the comment and he's saying, oh, you know what? They argue by Menachos. I think they also argue by Zvachim as well. So Amar Lei. So I assume we're still in the dialogue between Rav Papa and Abaye. So Rav Papa says back to Abaye, Hatenach ki kai bezvachim amr mistabra, ki hech de plichi bezvachim pligi nami benachos de ikar cry, ki ksive bezvachim ksive. So the Gemara says, remember yesterday's daf? The sourcing of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer are all predicated on psukim that we saw regarding a carbon, regarding zvachim. So now you certainly understand how you could say, while we're talking about Zvachim, and they're also arguing about Menachos as well. There are no psukim by Menachos. But Eliki kai b'Menachos v'amr mistabek eich depligu b'Menachos pligi name b'Zvachim v'aikar cry b'Zvachim hudiksivi. But it doesn't make any sense that if you're learning this machlokas, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer by Menachos, now you're going to say, oh, you know what? It makes sense that they not only argue by Menachos, they also argue by Kachim as well, by Zvachim as well. That sentence doesn't make any sense. The psukim are by Zvachim. The psukim are not by Menachos. There's no mistaber over here. To go from Zvachim to Menachos, that makes sense. The psukim are by Zvachim. To go from Menachos to Zvachim, there are no psukim by Menachos. So, Elo Kasha. So the Gemara says, fine. So, that's not a good way to read the Braisa. This is going to be attempt number two. Rowa Anias Divri Rabbi Eliezer Benitma. I think Rabbi Eliezer is right that one could offer the blood even though the meat is not here. I don't mean physically not here, I mean halachically not here. Meaning the meat becomes tummy. V'divir Rabbi Yeshua ba'avad v'saruf. And I think Rabbi Yeshua is right if the meat is totally gone. The meat is lost. The meat is burnt. So the meat is physically gone. So then I think Rabbi Yeshua is right. That once the meat is physically gone, I can't sprinkle the blood. So the Gemara says, v'nidma ma'itam emishum demarat tzitzitz. So the Gemara says, really? You think that's right? Well, let's consider. So if it's tamei, so why would it be okay? Because the tzitz creates ritzui. Hashem alei l'Rav Yossi darmenis in a tzitz maratz al achilos. So the Gemara says, now remember, this is Rav Yossi talking. Meaning this is Rav Yossi going through the shittas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. But you have to see it through the lens of Rabbi Yossi. And you remember Rav Yossi's lens? This is how we start off our morning. Rav Yossi's of the position that tzitz does nothing regarding the consumed parts of the carbon. Meaning, according to Rav Yossi, the only way that the tuma is to be bypassed is only through the tzitz. Remember, Rav Yossi's lens also includes that he does not believe tuma's hutcher b'tzibur. He holds tuma's dechuya b'tzibur. And on top of that, the only way that the tuma gets pushed through is only through the help of the tzitz. And according to Rav Yossi, the tzitz only works for the dam, not for the basar. So that means to say that according to Rav Yossi, so where does the basar of a carbon tummy stand? Basically, it's as if it's not here. The tzitz did nothing for it. So that means that according to Rav Yossi, there really cannot be a difference being made between the psul of tuma versus avod, tsaruf. It's all the same. So Ella Lokasha, the Gemara says, okay, this is going to be now attempt number three. Rowan is divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'tzibur. Rowan ani is divrei Rabbi Yoshua b'yachid. So here we go. Rabbi Yossi says that I think Rabbi Eliezer is right when we're talking about a carbon tzibur. I think Rabbi Yoshua is right when we're talking about a carbon yachid. So b'tzibur my tamim mishum tuma hutra b'tzibur. And the distinction is because when it comes to carbon tzibur tuma hutra. So the Gemara says that's nice, but once again, let's do this again. We have to look at this through the lens of Rabbi Yossi. Because again, the Bryce over here is telling us what Rabbi Yossi thinks. So if we're going through the halacha through what Rabbi Yossi thinks, obviously, it has to be projected through his lens. What's the lens of Rabbi Yossi? So we're going to go back to a point that we made about 15 minutes ago, that according to Rabbi Yossi, tumas dechuya b'tzibor, not hutra. Right, we saw that by the Kohen Gadol, having to get sprinkled with the Parah Aduma on day 3 and day 7 as he's preparing for Yom Kippur. Va'odi b'tzibur Rabbi Eliezer Machshir v'lo Rabbi Yoshua. And on top of that, if we're talking about tzibur, so Rabbi Eliezer is going to be Machshir and not Rabbi Yoshua, the ha'amar b'tzibor afilu Rabbi Yeshua moda. Meaning, if we're talking about tzibor, so isn't Rabbi Yeshua also going to be moda as well? Meaning, that's how we concluded yesterday's daf. It's not just Rabbi Eliezer who holds tumah hutra b'tzibor, it's Rabbi Yeshua as well who holds tumah hutra b'tzibor. And if the whole point of Rabbi Yossi, this distinction is hutra versus dechuya, so don't just limit me to Rabbi Eliezer, include Rabbi Yeshua as well. So, Ella, so the Gemara says, fine. So we're going to now, this is going to be our fourth attempt, as we are now in the Amud Beis. So, Ella, Rawani, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, B'diavad, V'Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, L'chatchila. So the Gemara says, well, maybe I'll say like this. Rabbi Eliezer works B'diavad. Rabbi Yeshua works L'chatchila. So D'Yevet, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? B'diavad, afilu Rabbi Yeshua, Nami Modehu. Diktani Modeh, Rabbi Yeshua, Shim Zarakurza. Go back to yesterday's daf. Remember yesterday's daf? We noted that according to Rabbi Yeshua, so lechatchila one is not allowed to sprinkle the dam without the basar, but if one did so b'di'evet hurtza, it works. So you see that if Rabbi Yeshua holds that b'di'evet, it works. So this is also not a way to distinguish. So the Gemara says ha b'tuma ha b'avil v'saraf. So the Gemara now makes a distinction within the distinction ha b'tuma ha b'avil v'saraf ki ketani mode Rabbi Yeshua shim zarek hurtza b'nitma. When we said that Rabbi Yeshua says that b'di'evet it's going to be okay, that's going to be A, it's b'di'evet, and B, it's talking about the psul of tumah. Aval ba'avod v'saruf, lo. But if we're talking about where it's lost or it's burnt, meaning it's physically not here, lo kikama Rabbi Yossi, roen is ani is divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'di'evet ba'avod v'saruf. And Rabbi Yossi says that I think Rabbi Eliezer is right, that b'di'evet would be okay. That's talking about b'di'evet, right? Well, I'm sorry. Let me say the sentence again. If when Rabbi Yossi says that I agree with Rabbi Eliezer, that's going to be number one, it's b'di'evet, not l'chatchila, and number two, specifically on avod v'saruf, because in the case of avod and saruf, that's where Rabbi Yoshua would say that even b'di'evet it wouldn't work. Okay, so the Rabbi Yossi concession. That Rabbi Yossi says, I agree with Rabbi Eliezer and I agree with Rabbi Yeshua. So after much trial and error, finally the Gemara has now come to a point in time where we have found a position of disagreement between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And it's on this dividing line that Rabbi Yossi says that, look, when it comes to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, so he says, when it's B'di'evet and when it's Avod and when it's Saruf, so then I agree with Rabbi Eliezer. That b'di'evet would be fine. And when do I agree with Rabbi Yeshua? That's in the case of Tameh. Okay. That kind of takes us to the end of that sugya. Admittedly, a little bit complicated, but what comes out over here, just to quickly summarize the Amud Aleph of today's daf, does our Mishnah go like Rabbi Yossi? The answer is no. Right? That's the really short of it. Because Rabbi Yossi is of the position that Tumah is Dechuya b'tzibor, not Hutra b'tzibor, and that Sitz is only going to create a Ritzui for the parts that go up onto the Mizbeach, not on the consumable parts of the Karban, and therefore, when all said and done, our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yossi, does not have five cases. It would only have four cases because the Shtei Alechem cannot be included in Rabbi Yossi's list, because the Shtei Alechem only is Ochlin. There is no part of the Shtei Alechem that goes up onto the Mizbeach. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yossi. And then the second part of today's, of that Amud Aleph, is that Braisa that we saw in yesterday's daf, where Rabbi Yossi is agreeing with everybody. I agree with Rabbi Eliezer. I agree with Rabbi Yeshua. On its face value, it makes absolutely no sense. How could he be agreeing with people who are arguing with one another? And so the Gemara, after trial and error, so the Gemara gave us a Mahalach. We are now on the Mishnah on Ein Chesam and Beis, Nitma Basar V'Chelev Kayim. Eino Zorek Es Adam. Nidma Chelva Basar Kayim Zorek Es Adam. So the Mishnah tells us a specific halacha that applies to Karban Pesach, and that's the following. After the sprinkling of the blood of a Karban Pesach, for that matter, any Karban Shlamim, but this halacha applies only to Karban Pesach, and that is the following. So after you sprinkle the blood, there are now going to be two consumers of the Karban. There's going to be the Mizbech that's going to get its Imurim, right? The Mishnah here describes it as Chelev, right? The forbidden fats of an animal. Right, those are part of the Imurim. Also, the kidneys are also part of the Imurim as well. Anyway, but it's called here in the Mishnah the Chelev. The Chelev just simply means parts of the Karban that go up onto the Mizbeach. And then, of course, there's the Basar. There's the remaining meat of the animal that's going to be consumed by its owners. And so, after you sprinkle the blood, so let's say, Nitma Basar v'Chelev Kayim. Sorry, before sprinkling the blood. Okay? So before sprinkling of the blood, so let's say the basal becomes tame, but the chalev is intact. So now, to the Kohen, we ask the question, can we sprinkle the blood? The answer says the Mishnah is unequivocally no. Now, why not? Because a point that we made already numerous times, and we get to reiterate again. Because when it comes to the Karban Pesach, the goal of the Karban Pesach is to have the Jewish people eating the Karban Pesach. And therefore, if let's say, for whatever reason, we lost the meat, physically, halachically, we lost the meat, so now, and even though we have the chalev, so there is going to be a consumer of this carbon, i.e. the Mizbeach, nevertheless, if there's no part of the Mizbeach that can be consumed by Klal Yisrael, by the owners of this chabura, so then you cannot sprinkle the dam. Now this would not be true by other carbons, by other carbonos, so if I have chalev, so then I can sprinkle the dam. And mind you, by the way, right, going off of what we've been learning now the last couple of days, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if I have no basar, I could still sprinkle the dam. However, over here, by the Karban Pesach, you need basar in order to sprinkle the dam. And Rashi writes over here, Tav Rashi in our Mishnah, this is even going according to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Again, going back to the unique nature of the Karban Pesach. I need basar. Now, Nidma Chilva Basar Kaim Zarek is Adam. The second part of the Mishnah, well, the second half of this part of the Mishnah is telling us that the opposite would be true. Where, let's say the Chilv is lost or disqualified, but I still have the Basar, so can the Kohen sprinkle the blood? Sure. Because again, now we have achieved our goal. We are going to achieve our goal that there's going to be part of the Karban Pesach that's going to be consumed by Klal Yisrael, and that's what you need. Uve Mugdashim Eino Kain. And when it comes to a carbon, this is not the case. When it comes to other carbonos, it's not the case. The Mishnah spells it out. The Mishnah tells us that by all other carbonos, if I have chelev, that's good enough. Chelev would be good enough. Now again, this part of the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yoshua. Again, going back to what we learned earlier this morning, going back to what we learned yesterday, this part of the Mishnah is going to according to Rabbi Yoshua. Remember, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I don't need any basar to be Zorik as Adam. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, I need something, but the something doesn't have to be Basar, could be Chalev. Again, when it comes to the Karban Pesach, no. Karban Pesach, it has to be the Basar, it cannot be the Chalev. Am Rav Gidol, Am Ravim, Zorik Hurtza. Okay, now, our Mishnah says that if you have the Chalev, but you don't have the Basar, so you cannot do the Zrika. And what if you do? So Rav says a Chiddush in our Mishnah. Rav tells us in our Mishnah, Hurtza, there is a ritzu that's created. Now the Gemara says, now I don't fully understand that. V'habi ina nachila? What do you mean? There's no basar, right? We lost it. And all we have is the chalev. And now the Mishnah says, don't do the zrika. And Rav says, but if I do, b'di'eved, you have created a ritzui. Gemara's question is really simple. There's no basar. What's going on over here? So achila lama akva. So the Gemara over here introduces to a chiddush. We've heard this before in the Masechta. There's an opinion, which we're going to be spending the remaining section of today's daf going over, that achila is not going to be ma'akev. Now, as I already expressed earlier, but let's express it again. This is going to be the sheet of Rabbi Nassan, and this is a real balancing act. Meaning, over here, consider now the delicate balance that we have where the Karban Pesach is unique in that the whole purpose, the whole goal of the Karban Pesach is so that we eat the Karban Pesach. At the very same time, we're also saying that if we don't eat the Karban Pesach, it's not going to be ma'akev, the fact that we offer the Karban Pesach. So the goal when bringing the Karban Pesach is to eat it, but at the same time, eating it, or lack thereof eating it, is not going to remove, it's not going to take away the fact that we offer the Karban Pesach. Okay, it's a balance, it's a delicate balance between the goal of eating the Karban Pesach, but at the same time, eating it is not ma'akev. So the Gemara says, now wait one second, ma'aksi v'ishlof yachlo. So doesn't the Torah state very clearly in Parshas Bo that you have to eat the Karban Pesach? Le-mitzvah. So the Gemara says, yeah, le-chatzchili, you should eat the Karban Pesach. That's right. O-la'akev lo v'atanya b'mechsas malami chena Pesach nishchad ela limnu yav. So, but don't we also have a halacha that we went over earlier in the Masechta that you have to be shechting the Karban Pesach over people that are registered? Yachlo shechta shalo limnu yav yeik over al-mitzvah v'kasher. What if I shechted for people that are not registered, and therefore I shechted for non-consumers? So I might have thought, okay, not the end of the world. No, Tamalomer ishlof yachlo tachosu. Hakosav shina lav la'akev. So this is a halacha that we said over a couple weeks ago in the daf, which is that the Torah repeats that you have to shecht it for consumers. And if I don't, that is ma'akev. That means that the carbon's no good. So the Gemara says, and there's a clear hekesh between consumers and those who are registered. Meaning, much like you have to shecht over registered people, failure to do so is going to be a disqualification of the carbon. So too is the eating of the carbon Pesach. Failure to do so is going to disqualify the carbon. So, Elarab, Damar Karebi Nasan, Damar Achilas Psakim Lama Akva. So the Gemara says, fine. So I'm with you that there is a shita that says that you have to eat the Karm Pesach. And failure to eat the Karm Pesach is going to actually remove it's going to undo the having brought the carbon. That's true. Rav, when he was saying over our Mishnah, he was saying our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan's of the position that it's not going to be a ma'akev. Now, a fair question to ask, which the Gemara will do a couple minutes from now, is what does Rabbi Nassan do with those psukim? But anyway, hi Rabbi Nassan. The Gemara wants to now know. Rabbi Nassan says that the eating of the Karm Pesach is not ma'akev. Can you be a little bit clearer? Which Rabbi Nassan are we talking about? Ilema, Rabbi Nassan, Titania. Maybe it's Rabbi Nassan of the following Brisa. Rabbi Nassan, Armei Minayin, Shekhal Yisrael, Yosem, Pesach, Echa, Tamalam, Vashachtu, Oso, Kol Kaladas, Yisrael, Bein Arbayim. So you can have one Karm Pesach for the entirety of the Jewish people. Now, V'chi Kol HaKal Shoftim, V'alo Ein Shochet, Ela Echad. What does that mean? Everybody's shechting. One person shechting. Alam Alam, Shekhal Yisrael, Yosem, Pesach, Echad. So one Karm Pesach for the entire Jewish people, in theory. Now, practically speaking, how does that work? So not everyone's going to be receiving a kezias. So you see that the carbon, that the achilas carbon Pesach is not ma'akev. The Gemara says, and that's not, that in of itself is not such a good proof. Dil mashani hasam, di mam shechehani chazi lahani, di mam shechehani chazi lahani. The Gemara says no, because it's true. You obviously do not have enough for a kezias for every member of the Jewish people. However, at least in theory, potentially, you can have people registering over the Karm Pesach because you can have a group register and then withdraw registration, another group come in and register. So at least you have the potential of everybody registering over that. Admittedly, not at the same time, but still, that's not a proof. So Ela ha Rabbi Nassan Titania. So the Gemara says, okay, the following Rabbi Nassan. Nimnu alav chabura achas v'chazur v'nimnu alav chabura acheres. So let's say you have a group of people registering over this Karm Pesach. And there's ample amount of Karm Pesach for everyone in that first group. And then, Nimnu Alav Chabur Acheres. In comes a second group. And the second group, just too many people now for distribution. You won't have a Kezayis of Karm Pesach for everybody. Rishonim Sheishlem Kezayis Ochlim Upatur Malasos Pesach Sheini. So for the first group that got in other words, we assume, of course, that they're entitled to receive portions first, right? First one's in. So they're good, meaning they fulfilled their mitzvah of Karm Pesach. Acharonim, however, the second group who tried to get into this carbon, being that they don't have enough to eat, so she'im lahem kezayis ein ochlim v'chayav lasos Pesach sheni. So now because they didn't eat any of this Karm Pesach, so they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Karm Pesach, and they're going to have to make it up with Pesach sheni. That is the Tanakama. Rabbi Nassan Omer, Eilav Eilav Petur Melasos Pesach Sheni, Shekvar Nizrak Adam, and along comes Rabbi Nassan and says, what do you mean? They registered over this Karm Pesach. They didn't eat the Karm Pesach. So the Gemara says, yeah, but eating is not ma'akev. So we have a brisa that shows us very, very clearly that according to Rabbi Nassan, the eating is not ma'akev. The Gemara says, no. I'm not swayed by this price as well. So the Gemara says, again, we have to look at the potential. The only reason why the second group are not eating is because the first group is there. If the first group withdrew registration, so the second group has that potential now to at least eat. So what the Gemara is arguing is that in these prices that we just saw, so we haven't shown clearly that inability to eat Karm Pesach removes the mitzvah of the Karm Pesach, because at least over here in these cases, you did have potential. Im kein lisne hol veruin li mashech. Mai shekvar nizrak adam shma mina bedam talya milsa. Aval achila lo ma'akva. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, I still think that the second brisa really says it all. Because read the second brisa carefully. The second brisa doesn't say, according to Rabbi Nassan, that the second group doesn't have to bring Pesach Sheni, because ru'uyim li mashech, because they're potentially eligible to eat the Karm Pesach. The Braisa doesn't say that. Rather, the Braisa says, shekvar nizrak adam. The wording of the Braisa certainly seems to indicate pretty clearly that their allowance to their fulfillment of the Karban Pesach is because the blood was sprinkled, and it has nothing to do with them having the potential to eat the Karban Pesach. It's just simply they were registered to a carbon. They can't eat that carbon. Fine. According to Rabbi Nassim, the achil is not ma'akev. Okay, so we've just established according to Rabbi Nassim, the achil is not ma'akev. Rav takes that shita of Rabbi Nassim, plugs it into our Mishnah. The Gemara says, why? My duchei de Rav demukim lamasis and lechachil of Rabbi Nassim. What got Rav so attached to this idea that our Mishnah has to be going like Rabbi Nassim? Like, can't you just simply say that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Nassim? Nukma karabanam v'afilu David namilam. Why not just simply say that our Mishnah is going like the shita of of the Chachamim and not Rabbi Nassim? So Rav Masisa Kashise. So the Gemara says, because Rav carefully read our Mishnah. Amai ein zorek es adam lisnei pasul. So you read the Mishnah carefully. The Mishnah says, ein zorek es adam. What is that? What tone is that? The tone of the Mishnah is that lechatchila one shouldn't do it. Why doesn't the Mishnah say something like pasul? Elosh maminayin zorek lechatchila v'di'evet shapir dami. What the Mishnah is telling us is that if there's no basar, lechatchila one should not sprinkle the blood. But b'di'evet, if you did so, it would be okay. Good. So that now is really good indication that our Mishnah is telling us that even though this is a non-consumable Karban Pesach, it still works as a Karban Pesach. Good. And that's why Rav said that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Nassim. Ula Rabbi Nassim Ishlif Yachlo Lamali. Okay, so, right, promised, the Gemara was going to ask this question. So what does Rabbi Nassim do with those psukim? So what do you do with the pasuk of Ishlifi Achlo? So Dim'inan Gavra Dechazel Achila. So he says, what you do with that pasuk is tell us, it is not a function of the carbon, it's a function of the person. The person has to be somebody who's fit to eat the Karban Pesach. Meaning, in order for the person to be yotzi with the Karban Pesach, so although the carbon doesn't have to be eaten, he, the bringer of the carbon, has to be in a position where he can eat it. Okay. We're gonna pause over here. Mantanlu Detana Rabbanan is where we're gonna pick it up tomorrow morning, and let's quickly review. This morning, our Mishnah that taught us the five karbanos that are brought in a state of toma. So is that Mishnah going like the Shita Rabbi Yossi? So in the first half of the first amud of today's daf, the Gemara's answer is no. It can't be going like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds toma is not Hutcher b'tzibur, but rather toma d'chuyah b'tzibur. Rav Yossi also is of the position that the tzitz is meratze only on the parts that go up onto the mizbech, not on the ochlin, not on the consumable parts. Therefore, we're only left to say that our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yossi, because according to Rav Yossi, the shtei halechem simply is not belong in our Mishnah. And it can't be, because our Mishnah says there are five cases in the Mishnah. Second part of second part of the Amud Aleph, is that brayso that we saw in yesterday's daf, where Rabbi Yossi says, I think Rabbi Elias is right, I think Rabbi Yoshua is right, and they can't both be right, and how does that work? Abai and Rav Papa discuss that very issue, and after a lengthy discussion, the Gemara finally comes to an understanding of how Rabbi Yossi can agree with Rabbi Elias and Rabbi Yoshua, and that is basically we're going to have to divide the cases. In the case where it's a Karban Yachid and B'di'evin, and we're talking about Avud Vesarf, where the carbon is gone, totally gone. So there, Rabbi Yossi says, I think Rabbi Eliezer is right. B'di'evid by Avud and Sarf. However, if we're talking about Tumah, so then I think Rabbi Yoshua is right. Good. And then the next Mishnah, which is the second half of today's daf, tells us that if there's no buster to a carbon Pesach, one is not to sprinkle the blood. And that would be, as Rashi points out, even according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who normally allows sprinkling of blood even without basar, but when it comes to the Karban Pesach is different. Karban Pesach, the goal is to eat it, and so therefore you sprinkle the blood, sprinkling the blood only if there's basar. If there's no basar, both physically or halachically, you don't sprinkle the blood. Good. Rav says that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nassim. What about the actual achila? So meaning, what if I did sprinkle the blood? So you get a check for having fulfilled the mitzvah of bringing the Karban Pesach. You didn't eat it? So Rav subscribes to the Shita Rabbi Nassim in that Achila is not Ma'akev. And in the Mishnah, what indicates that that's so? The wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Einu zarika sadam. That indicates the chetchila one's not allowed to do zrika. But bidyeven, if one did the zrika, it was yotzei. So it leads Rav to the conclusion that our Mishnah is necessarily following the shita of Rabbi Nassim. Good. And finally, we just concluded with what Rabbi Nassim would do in terms of the psukim and what seems to be the repetition of this idea that you have to eat it. Isn't it la'akev? And the Gemara says no. The Rabbi Nassim understands the psukim differently. Ad kan.